Thank you for having me this morning. It's good to be here with you. Our two scriptures today. First, I'll be reading Micah 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab advised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And second, I'll be reading Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We are living in contentious times. No matter how you voted in early November, surely you are experiencing the vitriol, the divisiveness, the fear, and the anger that is present all around us. You may think our country's problem is this. You may think our country's problem is that. You may think we fix it this way, or you may think we fix it that way. Or you may think there aren't any problems and things are just fine the way they are. But the important thing to note is that these different feelings exist in your city, in your neighborhood, and in your pews in your church. Some people find it hard to read the news every morning. Some people are frustrated that others are finding this time difficult when it's what they've been waiting for. Some are sweeping everything under the rug and trusting that it will all be ironed out. And regardless of how you feel, there is truth in the fact that we are divided. Our disunity as a nation leaves many of us sad and mourning and maybe even frustrated and angry. My friend Dana is a pastor, and in her first pastorate, she was blessed with a gaggle of junior high students that she had the privilege of teaching every week. One week, these junior hires tackled the tough topic of lament. They shared the things that made them frustrated and angry, and they channeled that into writing their own psalm of lament. And I'm going to share that with you. Remember, written by middle schoolers. Come on, God, get down here right now. Our little sisters are annoying the heck out of us. Day after day, our siblings torment us. Our friends turn against us, mocking us behind our backs. It rains on our soccer games. Our parents are sick, grandparents die, people fight, bodies break, our voices crack, and our clothes are constantly outgrown. School stinks. Yet morning after morning, we return to the halls of our torture. The wicked oppress us. Our ropes are surely at their ends. But you, O God, you have saved many before us. Even us you have saved. Your kindness has rained down to silence our sisters, to return us to our friends, to make the sun shine on the soccer field, to comfort us, to save us from adolescence. And so, God, deliver us from junior high. Make these months pass quickly. Save us from the tyranny of middle school. Hear us and deliver us. You always do. You are God, mightier than any lunchroom stairs, stronger than even our sisters' whining. You heal and save and make time move. Praise to you, God of our deliverance. You bring us out of the wilderness into the halls of high school. You save not only our souls, but even those of our parents, our siblings, our teachers, our pastors. Thanks, brah. We owe ya. These middle schoolers say it how it is, calling out to God and recognizing the grace and mercy that God has with us and with our adversaries. In times like these, we pray our personal laments. We ask God to save us all from one another. In my personal experience, when things are difficult, it's easy for me to remember God because I turn to God. I turn to the one that my faith and trust is in, the one who brings mercy and peace where there is no peace, who shows love and compassion and comfort. I find when things are going well, life is moving along swimmingly, and I'm in a general happy demeanor, I turn to God less because I'm not feeling a need for God. God has provided. Life is peachy. But when I really need something, when I'm feeling really lost or confused, I search for inspiration, for answers, for comfort in the Bible, in mentors, and in God. Today's scripture texts remind us of our call to live as Christians, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk in mercy and peace, even during tough times, even through our laments. We are reminded not just to be hearers of God's word, but to put feet to those words and be doers. Not to just profess our faith and pray our laments to God, but also to act. The Reverend Thomas McMillan of West Parish Church in Andover, Massachusetts, writes in a sermon, "How we view reality goes a long way toward determining how we're going to act. How we live in the world depends on what kind of world we think we live in. We can't know what to do until we know what's going on." The middle schoolers that Dana pastored, they were frustrated and concerned. They recognized their need for deliverance. They knew what was going on around them. The next step after this prayer of lament is to decide how are they going to address these problems themselves and as a community. Whoever chose our hymns today was a genius. We are people of God's peace, written by Menno Simons, the founder of the Mennonite Church, and Put Peace Into Each Other's Hands, written by Fred Kahn, a hymn writer who took seriously peace and justice concerns. And they both use words that encourage us to pursue peace together. Simons and Kahn's stories are prime examples of people acting in times of great concern, of people doing something when God's word calls them to action. Fred Kahn, he lived through the Nazi occupation in the Netherlands. He witnessed his grandparents die of starvation, as well as his parents' deep involvement in the resistance movement. His family took in refugees, and he became a pacifist when he was a teenager. The Beatitudes in this week's gospel describe a genuinely countercultural style of life. In a world of wealth and war, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor and the peacemakers." Instead of violence and vengeance, "Blessed are the mournful, the meek, and the merciful." Kahn writes, "In love, make peace, give peace a chance, and share it like a treasure." This man who experienced the effects of war firsthand writes a beautiful hymn encouraging us to be peacemakers. This act and many others he took in his lifetime fulfills the words of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Menno Simon's newfound faith led him to reject infant baptism and become a leader of the new Anabaptist group that was forming in the Netherlands. Simons was pronounced a heretic and was always in danger when he preached. He and his family were constantly seeking shelter from the authorities, who were always close behind him. In the Old Testament reading this week, Micah criticizes religious conformity in favor of a truly revolutionary life. "Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God." Just how revolutionary could this be? Imagine kindness on Wall Street, humility in Hollywood, or justice in politics. How revolutionary was Simon's? He ran from authorities, preached heresies according to the state church, and agreed to be a leader to a budding new Anabaptist movement, even though he wasn't so sure he wanted to be. These men both experienced the horrors of persecution and the pain of a nation and a world divided. Their actions ranged from extremely dangerous to simple yet poignant. And they wrote beautiful hymns, which continue to inspire us to peace in action today. They both moved past their lament, and through study of scriptures and prayer, as well as community and calling, they acted in truly admirable ways. In his commentary on Micah, Daniel J. Simonson writes, "What God expects of us is a dedication of our whole lives, not just outward and occasional acts of piety." What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. The Beatitudes show us more about what that dedication looks like. Commentator Eugene Boring writes that the Beatitudes are not entrance requirements for outsiders, they are statements about us, the insiders. They are not something to strive to be, they are something and someone that you already are. Theologian Kenyatta Gilbert wrote a beautiful rendition of the Beatitudes that joins the scripture text with people and actions relevant to today's Christians. When I read it, I knew I'd have to share it with you all. She writes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those persons left homeless after natural disaster, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the mourners, parents whose sons have been senselessly gunned down, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, nonviolent resistors of the 1950s and 60s, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, new Christians committed to a spiritually and morally disciplined life, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, the judge who pardons the first offense of a teenager caught in possession of an illicit drug, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, pastors who hold the hand of the bereaved and pray, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, breakers of the gridlock stifling the nation's progress, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the ones who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, the cast of World Vision, a prominent humanitarian organization, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the ones who are reviled, persecuted, vilified, slandered for believing in Jesus, thick-skinned counterculturalists, for they will be greatly rewarded in heaven." There are actions that you can do. There is a kind of person that you can be in the face of vitriol, divisiveness, fear, and anger. And if you feel powerless, remember that the scriptures tell us that in a world that prizes power, wealth, and status, God's favor is found among the powerless and the poor, without resources and options, You yearn for God's empire and faithful intervention. And when you feel targeted, downtrodden, or overwhelmed with negative language around you, remember that persecution such as name-calling, rumors, and social antagonism is inevitable when the powerful elite are challenged. God rewards faithfulness. There will always be a gap between the least of these and the highest offices in our state or country. It doesn't matter if that person began homeless or parentless, a refugee or immigrant, power changes you. Power separates even the most humble leader from those on the margins. And this is where we step in and remind those in power where our priorities lie, not just as Christians, but as human beings called to care for one another. And it's a daunting task set before us. It would be daunting even in the calmest of times, for there are always people on the margins in our society, and there are always injustices being practiced around the world, I'm sad to say. We can find strength, hope, and power in the truth that God is with us. God is with us. I know it's not Advent anymore, but that is the good news for today. God is with us. Emmanuel is born. We have celebrated the birth of our Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. We now journey together through Jesus' life of ministry and action while physically on this earth. The message is as relevant now as it was a month ago, and perhaps even more important, to remember that God sent his son Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, to set the captives free, to bring peace to the earth, and to give voice to the voiceless. The Son of God, who was a refugee, a blue-collar worker, a radical, an outcast, as well as a leader, a peacemaker, and an all-around upstanding guy, he was persecuted and executed for his words and actions. The burden is heavy. The responsibility is great, and some pay a cost that stuns us to silence. But not all actions end in violence, in prison, or death. Maybe an action for you is a protest or signing a petition. Maybe an action for you is getting to know someone who believes differently than you. Maybe your action is volunteering or giving money to an organization that really needs help. Maybe action for you is encouraging and supporting those who have the means or ability to do the things that you can't do. What is one action that you can do to make the world a better place? No matter what your beliefs, your political affiliation, or how you feel today, there is work to do. Whether you are right or left or in between, there is work to do. And don't lose hope. Place your hope in the giver of hope, Jesus Christ. Be motivated by prayer, by study, by friendships, and by a goal for making this world a more beautiful place. Use whatever power you have to be like Jesus. Be people of peace and justice, kindness and mercy, humility and grace. And remember that God is with you. Amen.